Or like those earbuds you put in your ears. Like I feel like
earbuds that you put in your ears as opposed to where else?
As opposed to the earbuds that go in your ass.
Yeah. That'd be crazy. You could really feel the bass.
Yeah. The bass of the person.
All right.
DJ Khaled, what's up, everyone? It's your boy, fucking Garfield. Can you say bad words on this one?
We appreciate it if you do. It'd be kind of weird if you didn't.
We encourage it.
Okay, I was just wondering, because, like, I don't want you guys to lose, you know, sponsorships for me saying such a...
Oh, our sponsors are Mint Mobile and NordVPN. They don't care what we say as long as we are nice to them. Like, it's fine.
Okay. Do you need a very special network? Well, use this VPN. And then what was the other one, Mint?
Yeah.
Is your breath stinky? Well, use Mint.
Yeah, that's kind of close.
Okay. What up? What up, everyone? It's your boy, Frank Jav C. We out here on the internet C. I'm here with Joe. I'm here with Lars. Everyone's going straight to Mars like Elon Musk. I'm in the dusk, breathing the air. It smells like dust.
That's pretty good. I like that.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Frank.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah.
That should be our intro for every episode.
Yeah, just like replace the guest intros with that.
Yeah.
Well, if they know how to freestyle, just straight up be like freestyle, and then see if it works.
Oh, we should enforce that from now on. Like, can you guys do a freestyle intro, please? And then just have them take it away.
Yeah, it's usually like it's crazy. Like, I'm so happy my name's Frank Jav C because everything ends with C. I could be like, I'm living life free. I'm Frank Jav C. I got a small P. Oh no, OMG.
What was me?
If you say something Lee, like. Like, that was amazingly,
absolutely. That ends in Lee.
So, yeah, I just woke up.
Kind of worked yourself into a corner with that one, but...
I literally just woke up.
Yeah.
Like, I know I was like, yeah, I wake up late sometimes, so, like, let me know a time. But then, like, I stood up all night, and I was like, fudge, I need to get up at 2 p.m. to retweet a tweet.
Whoa. Language, buddy. Careful with that.
I know, sorry.
Yeah, you can't say words that are too sugary.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet.
That was very saccharine.
I've been selling pictures of my feet, so anyone in the chat that has a dollar per toe, hit me up.
Oh, okay. That's a great deal. I think we just lost someone because of that. By the way, if you guys want to tune in at discord.t1podcast.com, you can listen to these episodes live. That's what that's for.
That's cool.
You can hear me drinking OJ, doing some ASMR.
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, I love ASMR.
Yeah.
I don't ever get tingles, though. I just like the sounds of it. I actually been working on some asthma pop, because I noticed that's a trend in pop music right now, is whisper singing. So I've been, like, doing some whisper stuff.
Great.
Hey, it's me, Joe.
Well, you don't have to whisper now, Joe. That's fine.
I'm going to do my my spinny fidget ASMR.
Okay.
That feels so tingly.
Thank you for that, Joe.
Are you guys feeling tingles?
Yeah, I got shivers up and down my spine.
I'm feeling some kind of emotion.
Is it upsetness? Because we should really get going.
Yeah, speaking of which, we're here today with Frank Jav C, who is quite the guy.
Hey, what's up?
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Thanks for being with us today.
Recently, you were on the
We Don't Suck
podcast, by the way, which is kind of a small world.
We Don't Suck.
It's interesting.
Yeah, they hit me up like literally the day before you guys hit me up.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Yeah, because like we've had him on our podcast a couple times now.
I know. I listened to a bit of it.
It's cool.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah.
And also, like, for people who don't know who are you and what do you do?
My name is Frank Jav C. I make memes on the internet sometimes. I'm mostly known for my music tutorial series on YouTube that was taken down by FL Studio because I used copyrighted software and I pirated it.
Oops.
And then I told a bunch of kids to pirate the software and then they lost like millions of dollars.
That's cool.
Yeah.
What kind of tutorials are there?
It was just like, hey, do you want to learn how to make a music genre? Well, let me teach you in a weird, campy, silly way.
Okay. And what kind of genres are we talking about?
Like vaporwave, future funk, house music, EDM. I remember I taught a lot of people how to like sample. Like that was one of the big things that I did was like get samples and how to like
pitch correct
it and get it in beat and stuff. And that was like in 2015. And then out of nowhere, the lo-fi hip-hop movement just blew up and everyone was making lo-fi hip-hop. And then I was like, I better do a tutorial on this. Mm-hmm. And then I did a tutorial on that in 2017, I think. And then I haven't made a video on YouTube in the past 2 years. So I've just been like memeing and like just releasing music on like my other stuff.
Now, when you say...
I do want to get back into YouTube.
Oh, okay. Well, like, would you adapt to the trends? Like, are you going to start making, like, Fortnite streaming, or what would you do?
No, I would adapt to the other music trends that are coming in. Like, I like memeing. That was one of the questions you're going to ask. I felt it in my third eye. You're going to ask it.
We were going to ask that next.
Yeah, like, memeing is, like, a form of, like, weird, like, cultural programming. And, like, I didn't know I was culturally programming musical trends when I started making, like, YouTube videos. So, like, you kind of have to think ahead with how you want the internet to react to something you do. Like, when I first started, I was, like, that was during, like, the heyday of edgy humor. So, I was, like, physically trying to, like, make people offended with my videos by being, like, this music genre sucks. And then, like, that caused people to share the videos, like, 10 times more than if I was, like,
hey, guys, here's my video essay. I love this genre. This genre is cool and amazing.
Because I was, like... hey, this genre is dumb. People were like, oh my God, I need to show all my friends this and show how wrong he is. So it ended up blowing up these genres more than like it should have. But like, I don't know. I just like culture programming in like a way to just like, because one of the big secrets I feel all memesters have is they're all trying to get the mass number of views. That's like the weird subconscious like thing that we're all doing is trying to make a one meme that'll go viral, one meme that'll get like the biggest meme out there, you know. And in doing so, all of society sees this one creation for like a week and then they hate it and then they're like, next, give me something else. But the meme still stays with them, and like it's kind of like thought programming where once you've already seen it, it's kind of exists in your narrative of your like reality.
It's very meta.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do feel like memes do have like an unusually short shelf life these days. I feel like they go real fast.
Maybe I'm just like completely off base here, but you ever thought about making just like PowerPoints and uploading the presentation and people just like click through it at their own pace?
It's funny you say that, because I'm going to be doing a PowerPoint presentation for Anthony Fantano, the internet's busiest music nerd, when he stops in LA.
Oh, you mean First Knee Podcastino?
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, he's a cool guy.
He was like one of my first big like YouTubers that gave me a break. Like he was like, yo, guys, check out this guy. He's so funny. And I was like, oh my God, Anthony, I love you. So then we did a video together in like 2015 where I was like, how to review an album. And I just pretended to be him.
Mm-hmm.
I think that one's still up. I took down a lot of my videos because of like the FL Studio, the company I used to make my music software. They were like, we're going to sue you if you don't take these down. And I was like, mamma mia.
It seems like a pretty big motivator.
Can they sue you for that? Like,
it
is
was
that
an intellectual property? Like, is there intellectual property? So it was like they used a lot of big words, and I was like, I don't want to go to law school just to find out if like I'm in the wrong. But I also felt like I was in the wrong when I was like, "Ayo, pirate the software."
Yeah. This podcast takes no stance on pirating, by the way. Like, do what you got to do. This is not advice.
Speaking of pirating, are you familiar with gardening or succulents at all?
Yeah, I love succulents. Suck was like my favorite word for the past like 2 years.
Okay, perfect. So if you ever go to like Home Depot or Lowe's and you see a succulent that you really like and you don't want to pay for it, you can actually just take one of the leaves off of it and then throw that leaf on the dirt, and it's going to propagate and grow and be a clone of the plant that you like, and you don't have to pay for it.
Life hack. Your life just got half better, Joseph.
It's like they do that with vegetables too. You just go to the store, get a piece of the vegetable, put it in a... Oh, sorry. One of my new Fire Beats was coming out.
Ooh, someone didn't turn off their phone.
Oh, no.
Who called me? You want me to answer this? I could answer this live on the podcast.
Yeah.
You can, yeah.
See, hello?
Hi, is this Frank?
Yeah, what's up?
Hey, I was just wondering, when you're
when I get money, click. Sorry, that was my child.
Okay. Ah, okay. I'll have fun editing that one through. That's going to make a nice little gag. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
Anyway, back to succulents. What's your favorite kind of succulent?
The ones that are juicy. You just like squeeze them and juice comes out of it.
Juicy and succulent.
Uh-huh. I don't think you know. Are you sure you're thinking of succulents? Or?
Yeah, succulents are like desert plants. I know this because I live in a desert.
Oh, okay. All right, my bad.
Wait, did you just say you live in a desert?
Yeah, it's tasty. I go out, that's why I said fudge earlier. You're appropriating my culture of my dessert land.
Oh, okay. No need to rewind then.
Well, let's rewind just in case.
Rewind.
Kissing prank and kissing prank. Kissing prank. Kissing prank gone sexual! Kissing prank gone sexual. And this kissing prank, kissing strangers, and Jamie asks the girls at the beach for sex! Kissing girls has never been this easy! Top 5 kissing pranks 2014, grabbing boobs and sex, kissing strangers, kiss prank, funny videos.
I guess you did say desert. Okay.
Yeah, I said it backwards.
All right, moving on.
Anyway. Okay, so here's the thing, Joe. Mm. We have a lovely guest, but we also need to make money. So how can we do that?
Well, we could talk about our sponsor, Mint Mobile.
We could, but we're not gonna.
No, let's move on.
I'll talk about it. I love Mint Mobile. I'm always like, hey, how much money do I have in my bank account? So using the Mint app, I'm able to see how much money I have in my bank account.
Going on a
Oh, really?
We're talking about Mint Mobile.
Oh, you're thinking of Mint, the mobile app, but we're actually sponsored by Mint Mobile, the cell phone service that kind of piggybacks off T-Mobile's wireless service.
Oh,
that's really funny. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, this is funny.
I do use mint.com, by the way. They're not our sponsor, but they're great. But
Mint is good. Yeah.
They used to be cool until they were like, we're not going to use PayPal anymore. And I was like, but I have half of my money's in PayPal.
Mm-hmm.
You have $5 in PayPal? That's a lot.
I have.
Boom.
Yeah.
Roasted.
You should see how many. It looks like a phone number. A really small one, 9.11.
Oh, I thought you were bragging. Like, it looks like a phone number. It's like 10 numbers.
Like 411.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, just joking. Little light teasing.
Mint Mobile is a virtual network that piggybacks off of T-Mobile and passes the savings on to you.
To me?
Well, not to you, because you still use T-Mobile like a sucker.
All right, I'm switching right now. What's the website?
mint.t1podcast.com. As scripted as this sounds, I'm a customer myself. I really like them. I was actually a customer before we got sponsored by them, so I know they're legit. I pay like 20, 25 bucks a month for my phone service forever.
Wow.
And they keep adding more data to the plan, so it's like I never, ever go through it. So if you're in an area with T-Mobile that has good coverage, you might as well use Mint Mobile. There's no reason not to. I highly recommend it. It's at mint.t1podcast.com to find out more.
Mint.t1podcast.com.
If you go to mint.com for the financial tracking app, that does not help us at all. But as a consumer, I do like that app as well.
It's nice.
Yeah, I like apps that put all your personal information in one place so that it's easy to look at. And if anyone ever gets your information, they could just see how much money you have.
Yeah. And if you wanted to protect against that, by the way, we could use NordVPN.
Full circle.
Yeah. NordVPN is going to protect you in case somebody tries to hack into your shit. And they do a good job.
Yeah. Watch Dogs 2 is real life, folks. But you can do something about that. And for that, you're going to need a VPN.
I was hacked once. That was wild.
I think we just lost like 3 listeners.
Yeah, it happens.
That's fine. We still got to make money.
Moving on.
Yeah. NordVPN. How can people check out NordVPN, Joe?
Just go to nord.t1podcast.com. And just go to nord.t1podcast.com and use the coupon code THEFIRSTPODCAST at checkout.
Mm-hmm. The first podcast, all one word, all words, at checkout to get 75% off your first subscription. Guys, it's like $3 a month just to protect everything and to be able to spoof your data so that People can't throttle you. And, you know, if you're wanting to watch French The Office, it's an easy way to do that without tricky plugins and such. $3. Instead of buying candy for the day, Joe, you could buy Mint Mobile. I mean, NordVPN.
Yeah, I'm doing like 3 packs a day of Twizzlers.
Yeah, it's kind of fucked up.
I could just skip a day, which I should, because the doctor says it's bad for my health. I'm trying to get on that Twizzler patch.
Nord.t1podcast.com, the first podcast at checkout. Now that we've made it through that block, which we don't usually do, that we're ad-free for the rest of the episode. So
nice.
Yay!
Yeah.
You guys are talking about candy. When I was a little kid, my dad used to work for a candy company, and he used to be a truck driver. So sometimes he would just bring me like boxes of candy, and I was like 3. And it kind of like programmed me to hate sugar. So like, I don't really like sweets anymore.
Weird.
Not even chocolate?
Chocolate, I love. Like dark chocolate, I could eat like a whole bar.
He's eating it right now. Yeah.
One of the members in the Discord is asking, what do you think about boars?
Like the pigs?
Yeah.
I think they're really cute. I like their tusks. I like their color. They're like, I like their snouts. Like, I remember the first boar I ever saw was probably Pumbaa from Lion King.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I've always thought of like, I guess boars as like a farty animal.
Yeah.
But like, as time goes on, like, I start to appreciate them more and more. So boars, I love you, boars.
I think they do fart a lot, though. That's probably true.
Yeah. For me, they kind of bore me.
They kind of bore you? Isn't boar also like to stab someone? Like, that's their name because their tusks like would stab people and they would be bored?
No, that's gore.
Well, I know like the king from Game of Thrones, the first season, he dies because like a giant boar like beats him up.
Beats him up like he takes his fists out.
Yeah, he's like fisticuffs.
All right, Frank, I got a question for you.
Yes.
And it's, I know it's asked on every interview ever, but what's the inspiration behind Frank Jeff C, the content creator?
Well, Frank Jeff C is just my name, Francisco Javier Contreras III, shortened into one little like onomatopoeia.
Yeah.
One little bite-sized piece.
That I had to use in high school. Because like I was making a Gmail. I'm like, what should my Gmail be? I know my name, but short. So then I just made that. And that because of that, it made a YouTube channel. So I just started uploading there. But Frank Jeff C is me, and that's about it. It's just a weird, like, short version of my name.
What about Frank Jeff C, like, in total? Like, what inspires your content? Like, what, how'd you get into it and that kind of stuff?
Oh, it depends. Like, it used to be ambivalency for some reason. Like, I used to like making people feel happy and sad at the same time.
Oh.
So, like, the emotion that comes from that feeling of, like, two conflicting emotions, which is why a lot of my, like, stuff, I try to make people feel, like good but also bad. So like a lot of my melodies will be very sad over happy music. Like there's this one song I just released that's a banger amongst the furry community called You Make Me Feel This Way. And it's all the beat is major except for the melody, which is minor. So like I really like that feeling of like bittersweetness. But with musical stuff, like I don't know, it's just something I do. Like even if I didn't make money off of it and I made music in a vacuum, I would still just keep making music.
Well, one does not simply just jump into stuff like Vaporwave, though. How did that come about?
Oh, that was an interesting time. I was living with weebs, and like one of the weebs that I lived with was like super pretentious about music and was like, Vaporwave's too deep for you. And I was like, oh, yeah, well, I'll make a video about how it's not. And then like I was just being dumb, and then it blew up on the internet and changed the genre to make it more accessible to people.
Do you like making Vaporwave now? Like, is it enjoyable?
I haven't made Vaporwave in my entire life. If I look at my discography, like, I purposely go out of my way not to, like, use samples and slow them down. But I have been making, like, faux 80s music, which I would consider Vaporwave.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, me and my friend Dan Mason, he's, like, a big future funk Vaporwave artist. He started this thing called Vaporwave 2. Where it's basically, instead of using samples, you just try to make music sound Vaporwave with not samples.
Interesting.
So we've been working on tracks together, and we've been doing like this weird wham sound. So you know that song, Last Christmas? We're doing our own version of like that sound.
Hmm. Okay.
So that'll be out when that's out.
Yeah, if you guys don't have an album title for that, by the way, you should call it Vaporwave 2 Electric Boogaloo. I think that would be great for that.
That's a perfect name.
Or just call it mint.t1podcast.com.
We already did the ads, Joe.
I'm just saying that would be a good name.
You would have to give me money.
Nobody would give us money.
we'll split the profits.
Yeah,
that's fine.
No, that's how the industry works. It's like you give me a little something, I'll give you a little something, and at the end of the day, mm-hmm. we all go home, and then we're happy.
A couple of reach arounds all around, everyone comes. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously, that's how Hollywood works.
Mm-hmm. That's the entertainment business in a nutshell.
I don't know. In a nutshell.
Is this Hollywood? I think this is kind of on the very far fringe of it at best.
Well, I don't know. I'm just close to Hollywood, like the industrial musical complex. So like, that's what I always say is like Hollywood. But like I'm like 20 miles outside of Hollywood, I think. Or maybe 10.
So are we.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, we're pretty close, yeah.
LA boys.
Well, not quite LA.
We're in we're south.
We're Orange County.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. I'm in East LA.
Ooh.
Okay.
I'd like to think of Orange County as like a version of LA that's like better to live in. Like I enjoy it more.
It's different. Like, you know what I like about Orange County is scene culture was invented in Orange County.
Yep. I was a part of that crowd when it first came out in like 2005.
Well, I remember that. I didn't know that we were the first to get it.
I have very embarrassing photos from that era.
That's cool.
Yeah, everyone had weird photos from that era.
Did you have a scene phase, Frank?
I didn't have a scene phase. I was more emo. Like, scene was more like rainbow emo.
Yeah,
but I
was,
definitely had the swoop and, like, was really contemplative about, like, my life at 15.
Yeah. For me, I was friends with people who were scene and emo, and I wanted to do the look, but I didn't have enough allowance to do the look.
Yeah.
Basically. Like, I couldn't go to Hot Topic.
Oh, that's the excuse. It's not that you weren't cool enough. Okay, I get it.
Well, yeah.
It was a socio-political class statement, definitely. Because, like, they were like, look at the latest thing I'm wearing from Hot Topic. Where mine was more like, I went to the Goodwill a lot, so I had a lot of, like, late 90s and early 90s clothes. So I was more into, like, a grunge aesthetic. So in high school, I was, like, really into grunge.
Oh, okay.
That's cool. I kind of was a little bit, too. I didn't really care about fashion as much in high school as I did, like, later on. But yeah, it's
Joe,
just reason.
It's
this
weird
is the
how,
Joe podcast, by the way. Let's talk about me. No, I'm just kidding. This is
okay.
No, you're a special guest today, Frank.
Well, Joe, to be honest though, like if we ever want to talk about ourselves, it is our podcast. It's not that weird to discuss our lives and stuff. Like that's fine.
No, but I did kind of interrupt Frank, so I shouldn't have done that.
Oh, I was just gonna say how like music actually like is like this weird social glue that connects like music, film, dances, and like it puts it all together.
Yeah,
that's true.
It's like the yeast,
the yeet.
Yeah, but sometimes it gets an infection.
Yeah, it does. Like, and it goes viral, and everyone has to listen to it. Like that Old Town Road song. To date ourselves, in May 2nd, 2019, that song is number one in the world.
By the way, there's a question from the audience. If you want to take one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Zenovia asks, what's Tabasco Sweet like and working with him? Also, is there an ETA
you know
on the
Bombay
Beach?
He's so cool in real life. Oh, wait, what was the last part? Sorry.
Oh, I don't know. My isolation shield is blocking it. I can't see. Joe, can you read that?
Also, is there an ETA on the Bombay Beach video?
Oh, yeah. Michaela needs to edit that. Michaela is the director behind Cheap Thrills and Everyday Flexes. She's really cool. And she and my friend Nate Contreras, who is actually my cousin, created the character Tabasco Sweet. And Tabasco Sweet in real life is he's a real sweet boy. He's really chill. I like going to his like studio and just chilling with him. I'm actually going to go with him after this podcast to go work on a song we have together.
Sweet.
It's called Internet Girl.
Awesome. By the way, when you go do that, you should mention the podcast to him. We would love to have him on at some point.
Okay. I'll hit him up. I could hit him up right now. I mostly talk to people through like Instagram DMs.
Oh, weird. Okay.
Instagram's cool.
Yeah, Joe's saying that because he's the Instagram guy on our podcast.
Yeah, ours is T1 Podcast.
Yeah.
It's at T1 Podcast if anyone's listening. and wants to...
If anyone's listening, like, it, like this episode, make it zero listens, or what are you talking about?
If anyone happens to listen to this episode.
Yeah. You
know. Maybe one day.
Maybe okay. One or two people
I was
going
to say, Instagram's algorithm is, like, amazing for finding new content and linking people up. Like, I've met a lot of my, like, memesters just from, like, Instagram.
Oh.
What's your, is yours just your name, Frank Jeffsy?
Yeah, that's me on everything. I even got the TikTok Frank Jeffsy before TikTok blew up, just in case.
Nice.
Because I want to do, like, more stuff, like, just fun. Like, I just want to have fun. But it's kind of hard for me sometimes because I go through weird bouts of, like, I don't want to do anything for long periods of time. Or I end up just, like, watching movies. Like, the last movie, like, thing I fell into was I just watched a bunch of Stanley Kubrick films, like, just to see what his life was like.
Okay.
So I like his vision. Like, I want to put it, like, some of his shots into, like, my videos or just, like, my things. Because, like, it's interesting, like, getting the audience eye to look at something is really fun. Like, even in memes or just, like, short videos.
Yeah.
Like, you're literally trying to get someone's attention. And, like, we have, like, this weird attention economy where it's, like, the more eyes you have on you, the more, like, manifests into monetization or, like, bigger things. Mm. Like, I remember I once made a shooting star meme that got, like, these MTV executives that wanted me to, like, edit videos for this, like, one, like, Jackass-styled show.
Yeah.
But I had to turn them down because I was like, I don't want to do it.
By the way, you know what's really weird is, okay, so I used to listen to Bag Raiders, like, way back in 2008. I know it sounds like, oh, hipster, I listened to before they were cool, but, like,
yeah.
It was so weird one day to hear, like, a random song from them from, like, 2008 suddenly blow up in, like, a modern meme. It was really, like, strange. It's like, oh, that's a, I don't know, it was just interesting.
Yeah, because I remember seeing, it was just like a video of like a dog dancing, and it was dancing, da, 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 da. It was like 2016, I feel, that was like the height of that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I remember I went on Twitter and I was like, what song goes like this? Da, 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 da. And then people were like, oh, it's this song. So then I downloaded it, and then I made this video of like this, like, there's like this fat guy on a skateboard who just falls off and hits his balls. And then like I turned him into like outer space and flew him out. And that's what MTV was like. Hey, we're going to make a show with this guy. Do you want to be the editor for the show? And I was like, I don't know, man.
How come you turned him down?
It didn't feel right for me. Like, I don't know. I just didn't want to do it.
By the way, you know what, what kinds of videos from way back in it, like probably 15, almost 20 years ago, I wish they would make a comeback? People drinking Epicac and projectile vomiting.
Okay.
You remember
that's
those?
Lovely, Joe. Thank you for bringing that
Frank,
up.
I've never seen those in my life. I used to have a vomit phobia, so I don't like them anymore.
Forget it. Never mind. Let's edit this out.
Well, now we have to leave it in.
No, we can leave it in there. We need to talk about this now. I had no idea that existed.
Yeah.
I know there's the Sprite and banana challenge where you eat a banana and then drink as much Sprite as you can, but for some reason there's a chemical reaction that makes you just projectile vomit.
Oh, I'm not going to engage in that challenge. I think I'll let other people do that, but yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I think it has something to do with, like, the Sprite makes the banana expand. Like, you have nothing. Your stomach just becomes one giant banana paste, so you have to, like, shoot it out somewhere.
Ew. All right, well, if you guys are listening to this on your breakfast or lunch hours, I apologize for that.
I don't. I do it again. You know what other kinds of gross videos I miss? No, I'm just kidding.
I like those videos where people like pop like pimples or pull out ingrown hairs or like the blackheads.
Those are horrible.
Ooh, reddit.com/r/popping. Yeah.
Or like the cysts.
Yeah, it's so weird.
Oh my God, those are.
Yeah, it's slightly satisfying. It makes my mouth water. And then they have like crappy EDM on it. It'd be like.
I actually have a story if you guys want. It's gross, but if you guys want to hear it.
Nope.
All right,
I don't.
Let's move on.
All right. Okay. I've been looking for a place to dump this, by the way, because Frank mentioned attention.
You say you were looking for a place to dump ass?
Yeah, I was looking to poop. And yeah, this is where I'm going to do it. I'm going to shit all over the podcast with that.
I hate when that happens, like when I'm out in the middle of the desert.
By the way, Frank, I have a hypothetical question.
Well, hold on. Let me dump this out. I've been meaning for an outlet for this. Okay, I have some.
Go ahead and dump ass, Lars.
Okay. I have some movie recommendations for you guys. I've been watching a lot of good ones lately because, like, recently with the podcast, I've realized that I don't have fun anymore because all I do is like work on the show, so I've been trying to like force myself to have some sort of fun and enjoyment in my life. Have you guys seen any of the following movies? Eighth Grade, Lady Bird, You Were Never Really Here, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. Have you guys seen any of those?
No.
No.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
So Eighth Grade is a movie by Bo Burnham. You guys know who that is?
Yeah, I was meaning to see that one. I heard it was good.
Yeah, it was really, yeah. So it's this movie about like this girl who's in eighth grade, and it just does like a fantastic job of just kind of describing what it's like to be in that really awkward transitional phase. I highly recommend it.
Yeah. Eighth grade is awkward.
I loved Eighth Grade.
Yeah, I think she has, the main character has like a very ambivalent relationship with it. It's like, because she's awkward.
I liked 8th grade more than 7th grade because I was kind of getting the hang of it a little bit more, and it felt like freedom compared to elementary school, but I didn't like it that much.
Mm-hmm.
7th grade sucked for me.
Yes.
Everyone thought I was a girl because I had long hair and like I was kind of fat, so I had titties.
Wait, you're not a girl?
Shh.
Oh, okay. All right. And
yeah, there were a lot of bullies at my school.
Lady Bird is made by the same people, and it's kind of more about like senior year of high school, kind of similar thing going on with that. Transitioning to college, pretty relatable as well.
By the way, Frank, I followed you on
TikTok. Does the dog from King of the Hill? Thank you. Does the dog from King of the Hill come out in it? Because the dog from King of the Hill was also named Lady Bird.
Lady Bird, that's right.
No.
That's a shame.
The disappointment in Lars's voice.
It doesn't, unfortunately. But yeah.
I'm enjoying this episode. This is good. We're getting to know the real Frank.
Yeah.
Thanks.
You Were Never Really Here is just the best movie I've seen in years. It's about a guy who like goes to rescue child prostitutes from like slavery.
Oh, wow.
It's just really good. It has Joaquin Phoenix. He kind of just rocks it the entire time. We can move on from that, though. Just go watch those movies, guys, if you're listening. They're really great. Anyway.
The last movie I saw.
What was it?
I don't remember. It was, like, something big, though. I when I go to the movies, I only really go for, like, big movies. Like, I didn't see Endgame, but it's, like, mostly, like, if it's a Disney flick or a flick that's, like, super poppin'. Because I like going to see movies when the theater's packed.
Mm.
Like, I like being in an experience where, like, there's a bunch of people there. Like, I think the last time I was in a packed theater was probably, like, It. Like, that was fun. I saw it, like, in Long Beach, and it was a packed theater. So, like, whenever things would happen, it was, like, loud. And I like that social aspect of watching movies with a lot of people. But, like, recently when I've been just watching, like, weird, like, old movies, like, I've been watching them on, like, YouTube. Because YouTube actually has, like, a really good movie, like, streaming platform. Like, you just pay, like, $3 to rent, like, any movie.
Hmm. Okay. Joe, what are you doing, dude?
Hello?
I'm recording a podcast episode. My dad just got home.
Oh, okay. I was wondering, I thought you were like going shopping or something. That was weird.
I am going. I'm going shopping later. I need to buy like punk stuff because I'm gonna be a punk now.
Whoa.
Yeah. Gonna go to Hot Topic.
He's gonna try to become a punk.
Down with the establishment. Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just gonna let out my inner style.
The new store is Box Lunch. I like them way better than Hot Topic. They're like a little bit Tumblr quirky, and they have like cute t-shirts.
There's a store in downtown where I
downtown Anaheim
live called Ipso Facto. Have you heard of them?
Ooh, no. What do they have?
They have like punk goth stuff. It's really goth stuff and like studded.
Yeah, the goth trend was big. I remember I started making goth GF jokes in like 2015 because of ASAP Yams, rest in peace. And like I just started like what the hell? My phone is going crazy.
You could take a call if you need to.
No, it's just my friend sending me something. It's really important because he writes, "Oh my fucking god."
Oh.
Oh, it's just a Twitter.
Are you gonna share it with the rest of the class, or are you just gonna?
Yeah.
No, it's actually really, really bad.
By the way, for the fans who want to get a hold of you, what is your phone number? Just kidding. No, don't.
323.
No, don't. You shouldn't give it.
I know. I was dumb once and like added everyone on Facebook, and now I don't go on Facebook because it's like such a train wreck over there.
Oh yeah, since I started doing this podcast, my Facebook activity has gone like almost 100% down the toilet. It's not good. anymore?
I don't like it. It's kind of dead. Like, it's nothing but, like, middle-aged people now. Like, the hardcore demographic is, like, pure middle-aged people. Where I like Twitter better for talking to people.
Yeah.
Because you can really simplify things. Like, on Facebook, you can write a whole paragraph, and then, like, it takes up your whole feed. But on Twitter, like, they give you, like, no, you can't even do that. You have to be direct.
Yeah, definitely. Well, some of the middle-agers, though, are, like, my relatives. That's the useful part of it for me now at this point. Like,
yeah,
keeping up with the family, I guess. But I happen to have a good relationship with them, so...
Keeping up with the Kardashians, as they say.
Yeah.
They're like the royal family of America. Like we have the kings and queens, and it's the Kardashians.
I've been near them a few times. Like,
did you get their aura? What was it like?
Like, they're scared. They seem very nervous and scared. Yeah.
I mean, I would be too if I was the number one most viewed family on television and had like the number one following on Instagram.
Yeah, like I haven't talked to them, but I've been within like hugging distance of like Chris and...
Oh, so you didn't hug them, you didn't talk to them, you just hugged them?
I was within hugging distance. I didn't go for the hug, but like, I could've...
I thought you were saying like you went in for a hug and you were just oddly silent, just like...
No, I was like within kissing distance, you could say, but...
Oh, wow. Smooching up.
They just look like a deer in the headlights. They all do.
That's cool. Maybe we should adapt that aesthetic to ourselves, and maybe that'll make us rich and famous.
Yeah,
making us all within kissing distance, basically.
Kissing distance,
anime eyes. Kissing distance, anime eyes.
I've also been within kissing distance of Justin Bieber, Selena Gomez.
I saw his movie in theaters on Valentine's Day in 2011.
Ooh, how was that?
It was fun. He was like showing off his tour life. He looked like he had like a really good teenage years. Like he was like, haha, I'm running around backstage at my arena show with like water guns and we're shooting each other. I also have like a go-kart and I'm driving around. I'm just a boy having fun. And I was like, you go, Justin Bieber.
Yeah, what happened to that guy, man?
I don't know. It was all propaganda, though, just to sell more records.
By the way, can you distract Frank real quick? Because there's this loud-ass car, and I can tell it's going to get on the recording in a second.
Okay, I'm going to just beatbox.
I want to, like, jump in, but I feel like I'm not worthy.
Yeah, it's hard because of the Discord delay. Like, I believe we have tried with my friends. Like, I'm like, come on, let's do it. And it's always just really bad.
What's personal, like, fashion style are you going for, like, any particular style right now? Like,
it's funny you say that because I'm getting more into fashion just from hanging out with Tabasco Sweet because, like, his whole shtick is, like, he makes, like, high-end fashion stuff but cheap. I've always been really into fashion. But now I'm getting more into it, like, understanding, like, the designers and, like, the materials and stuff. But I'm really into, like, my aesthetic would be rainbow. So, like, I love wearing Hawaiian shirts or shirts with, like, tropical birds on it. And, like, I love patterns and stuff. So, like, I'm really into Versace right now because Versace has, like, the look that I want. They're very much into, like, all the colors of the rainbow. And, like, they're also into, like, weird regal stuff. So, like, whenever you wear it, you look like you're a knight for some reason. So, like, I like their aesthetic.
Ooh, can I ask a question related to that, by the way? And you may not have an answer to this, but that Garfield shirt, man, where did that come from?
H&M. They had, like, a weird Garfield line, and it sold out. Like, that was the only one that they had in that store I went to. And it was, like, a small... So, like, I wore it as, like, a shirt, but it still, like, fit over me. So, like, I fucking love Garfield. He's, like, one of my meme icons.
Mm-hmm. Have you played Garfield Kart?
I've seen it, but I haven't played it yet.
Oh, okay.
So we had a guest on who's passionate about Garfield Kart.
Yeah, call me Carson. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. He's a YouTuber that he's quite the fan. I will say that. Yeah.
Yeah, Garfield definitely is a legend.
He is.
By the way, there's a guest... who, not a guest, Toybox, one of our Discord members, is asking, what's your favorite indie game or obscure game in general? No Toby Fox stuff, if possible.
I've been playing... My video games that I play is, like, I'm really into, like, JRPGs. Yes. And, like, fantasy RPG games and stuff. Like, my... Recently, I've been playing Yumi Nik... Niku or Niki, Yumi Niki. It means like dream journal. It's like a Japanese like walk around game. Like I really like games that are like dreams. So like the first game.
Is that the one that changes as you play it? And
I don't know. I just started playing it. Like I have a Twitch channel, Frank Jeff C on Twitch, where I just play like games with me and my sister sometimes. And that was like the one I was playing last time. And it was really interesting because you just like walk around and like you enter doors and they're all like the aesthetic's all weird. Like it takes like art form from like South American like tribal paint to like just weird static. And it's a fun game. You're just walking through dreams. And like that's another thing I'm really into is just dreams in general. So like if I were to ever make a game, like I think one of the first things I would try to do is like not do like a dream emulator, but just make something that feels very dreamlike. Like you just go from one scene to another.
I like dreams too. You ever lucid dream?
Yeah, I used to do it all the time. And like I started heavy after I dropped out of college in 2014. Like I was like, I'm going to try to do something else with my brain. So like I would take all the nootropics and try all like the techniques to get into a lucid dream, have a dream journal. I still write down my dreams regularly and like I look back at it to see what I was dreaming about years ago and stuff like that. But like one of the coolest lucid dreams I remember doing was I was rocking back and forth because I fell asleep on my girlfriend's couch and I was just like on her couch rocking back and forth. But it was like in my dream, like, you know, like when you're like on a boat or in the ocean, you have that rocking motion. I was like that. And then like my like astral projection fell off the couch, but my body was still in bed and I was able to walk around. And then I started like floating up through the ceiling and stuff. But like, it was weird. Like it felt so real, but I wasn't sure if it was like my brain making it real for me or something. But that was like one of the most intense lucid dreams I've ever had.
Wow.
I used to lucid dream a lot too. It's fun. I think I had a lucid dream last
night. No one cares, Joe. Frank.
I know. I wasn't going to talk about it in detail. Okay. I was just making a short comment. Right.
Frank, when you say JRPGs, have you played Final Fantasy 15?
No, I haven't. The thing is, like, I haven't played anything new. Like, oh. I stop at PlayStation 2 aesthetics.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, my favorite JRPG of all time is Chrono Trigger. Like, a lot of my music's actually influenced by the music of Chrono Trigger.
A good place to get influence from.
It was crazy. Like, when I played Chrono Trigger, I didn't even know how to read. So, like, I just had to, like, learn how to read to play the game. I was, like, three or four.
Nice.
And, like, I used to rent it all the time because I looked at the poster and it looked like Dragon Ball Z. And I was like, I want to play that game. So, I basically played that game at, like, the cusp of my childhood, like, pre-kindergarten. And then, like, I was like, I can't wait to play more games that'll be just like that. And then no game ever reached that, like, point for me. It was like taking video game heroin.
Mm. By the way.
That sounds like a nice
time. Yeah, video game heroin. By the way, going to take a live question now if you're willing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Hey, Frank. I'm just curious if there are any big music trends coming up this year?
I would say Asmerpop is coming up. Like, I've noticed the trend where because of, like, technology and we're able to compress vocals and, like, the just asthma coming up in general, singers are getting more breathy and more asthma-y. So, like, the biggest example I could give right now is Billie Eilish. A lot of her stuff is, like, stuff like that.
Do you think that's a good trend or a bad trend?
I don't know. I'm trying it out to see if it works for me, but I kind of like the upper... It's kind of like a weird mixture of like we're bass boosting while also boosting the highs. So like there's like shimmery kind of synths and vocals coming through with very crisp and boomy lows. So it's like the mid range is kind of getting cut out very slowly. Like the mid range is more for like vocals and like synths and stuff. But I do see a trend like even in lo-fi hip hop that blew up like that was like the last big trend I saw blowing up. In like the late 2010s, as it were, was like there was a lot of high end with a lot of boomy bass. So it was like they put a vinyl crack or like water sounds, and that gave like a really high like, and then like the low end boomy bass was like hitting you hard. And I also find that there's also a trend with how people consume music nowadays. I find that a lot of people like I look at my actual statistics, and more people are likely to listen to me with headphones on, like in ear. Headphones are like, you know, the headphones to hear the bass, so it's more intimate. So I feel like people are mixing more for like an intimate setting. So I feel like that Asmerpop is going to be like kind of like a 2020s trend.
Oh, okay,
or more common.
Cool. I'll be sure to invest in those kinds of companies.
Yeah, just invest in ASMR popcorn, Joe. Should be fine. Yeah.
Or like those earbuds you put in your ears. Like, I feel
earbuds
like...
Earbuds that you put in your ears as opposed to where else?
As opposed to the earbuds that go in your
ass. Yeah. That'd be crazy. You could really feel the bass.
Yeah. The bass of the person.
All right.
All right.
Go ahead. Sorry, I steamrolled over you there.
It's okay. I'm good.
Oh, that was the end of it? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, the chat says you can really feel the brown notes. That's great. Okay. If you guys don't know what that means, go ahead and look up brown note on Wikipedia. You'll find it funny afterwards.
It doesn't work for me.
The brown note?
Uh-uh. I do have like a bass speaker and I bumped it and like nothing happened to me.
So you were really trying to poop and it didn't work?
Yeah. It'll help with weight loss.
What do you guys think would happen if you butt chugged Epicac?
I don't know, man. Why don't you try it?
Let's find out. Join us next time.
Joe, I just want to point out what you just said. What would happen if you butt-chucked Ipecac? That was a sentence that you just created. Just wanted to reiterate that.
At a natural progression, we got there. Each episode is like a little universe that we're kind of co-creating. Yeah. And we've created something that allowed that sentence to exist. This isn't only my fault. We're all in on this together.
Do you ever think like maybe what you just said was like the most, like the only time that's ever been said in like humanity?
Possibly.
I think butt chuck and Ibicac may be the first time, Joe. Oh, by the way, Frank.
Uh-huh.
Speaking of pooping, are you aware of the three shells method of pooping?
No. Please, teach me.
Okay, I'm going to send something to recording chat, and if we could get a read of this, we really like when guests can do that. It's something that you can get away with reading, don't worry. It's not like something that people are going to look at you differently after you check out. Hold on one second. Joe, distract our guest.
Oh, shoot. Why don't you have the image prepared when you bring it up? Why do I always have to? Okay, there we go.
Okay, I see it. So do you want me to open this up and read it?
Yeah.
If you could.
Okay, let me open up original because I want to zoom in. Okay.
I think Rav and Bill did this too.
Yep. Ooh, full circle.
So if that makes you feel better.
How to use three seashells. Step one, take two of the seashells and place them between your fingers to be used like chopsticks. Step two, using the two seashells, gently pull on feces to remove them from your posterior until bowels have been completely emptied. Using the third shell, scrape away any fecal remnants from your posterior. Dispose of all three shells in the toilet and flush away. Important note, do not violate the verbal morality statute and attempt to use printed tickets as an archaic toilet paper. Any attempt to do so will be reported to the San Angeles Police Department. Please direct any directions to the three shells to demolitionman.com. Whoa. Have you ever seen that movie, Demolition Man?
Yeah, that's what that's from. Yeah.
Oh, that's how you use them?
Well, okay, so, like, you know in the movie where the, like, Sylvester Stallone's character, what was it? Spartan notes that there are three seashells in the bathroom, and he's like, how do I poop with this? And they laugh at him. But they never explain what the method is. So this is just, like, a theoretical, like, maybe this is how they use them.
I feel like it wouldn't even get you clean all the way, though.
It would not. It's a...
Like...
Of course not. You'd be better off using your hands.
I mean, I would try it, like, once in my life, just to say I've done it.
You would flush them down the... You would flush seashells down the toilet just to see...
Well, I'm, like, saying, like, what if I'm stuck on a tropical island, and I was like, oh, it's a good thing that I read that thing that one time.
Yeah.
Let me do it right here.
And there happens to be, like, a flushable toilet on the island?
I mean, I would just, like, I don't know, I'd probably, like, throw my turd out to sea and then, like, wash it with seawater.
Yeah. Chat has noted, by the way, that they regret everything in their lives that led them to the point of having to see that image. Sorry, guys.
It's a good thought to think about.
Yeah, like, how does the three shells method work?
Yeah, now I know. It makes me want to eat Taco Bell.
Oh!
If you want to know more and you want to be here for these conversations, just go to discord.t1podcast.com and you too can be a part of the conversation.
You too can learn the three shells method live.
The three shells method of poop.
Yep.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Now that makes me want to poop.
I have a nice pop filter. In this case, it's a poop filter.
Okay,
poop
Joe.
Filter.
Oh, when you take a shit on the mic, but you don't want it to get on there. Yeah, makes sense. Okay.
Like, do you ever think about, like, those recordings of people just farting? Like, how did they get that? Like, someone had to sit there with the microphone close to their anus and just, like, you mm-hmm. know. So that's why they use the poop filter.
Don't rub your eyes against that pop filter.
I suspect that some of it probably comes from, like, fetish porn recordings. Like,
oh yeah, I forgot that that exists.
Me too. It was a nice time when I forgot. I don't miss it. Yeah, did you know about that,
Frank,
Joe?
Do you
are you going to ask him what his fetishes are? Don't ask him that. That's really deeply personal.
No.
I mean, I'm pretty open about it. They're pretty open.
No, I wasn't going to ask about
that. Oh, go ahead if you want to share.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you want to. Yeah, we're not going to stop you. But
No, because then I give away my power and then people use it against me.
What kind of soundproofing do you prefer? Like, do you have a studio that has, like, soundproofing up on the walls and stuff?
It's funny you say that because, like, my studio is, like, the most amateurish thing ever. Like, I don't have any soundproofing. Like, I record my instruments directly into my computer sometimes. Like, for the longest time, I was recording wrong. Like, I recently found out it took me up until, like, maybe 5 years of making music that there was, like, a mild delay on all my vocal tracks. So when I listen to all my old music, it's like, all the way up to volume 2, because I used to release my albums like a software update. So it'd be like volume 1, volume 1.2, 1. And it would go on like that. I didn't know until volume 2.111 that I was recording with a mild delay.
Ooh.
So I don't like listening to my old stuff because I could hear the delay.
Was that the studio that you built at a thrift store?
Oh, no, that was just for a meme.
Oh, okay.
And we did actually record in it.
I like that video. I saw that. It was nice.
Thanks. Yeah, Super Deluxe was cool. They were like this weird, like, hippie-owned, like, we could do whatever we want.
Oh, I love Super Deluxe.
And then they didn't make any money, so then they had to close.
Yeah. Oops. Speaking of stuff that we like of yours, by the way, Ghost Tribe, I was listening to, that's my favorite one by far.
Oh, thanks. I just released it. It's actually a remake of a old song that I wanted to record like that, but then I didn't have the technology or equipment yet, and then I was like, I have it now, so I just redid it.
We can rebuild him. We have the technology in song form. Yeah. Makes sense. What is your favorite one, by the way? Like, what's your magnum opus?
So Damn Beautiful.
Okay. Why?
Yeah, so the one, it's because it was me trying to write a cheesy song on purpose.
Okay.
And I worked with another producer on that one known as Frank Music, and we literally met just because our name was both Frank.
Mm.
So we were like, let's make a song together. And I showed him my demo, and he's like, he had like this baller studio in Hollywood because he's like, I don't know, he has an interesting music career. So like, I went to his studio, and then we just recorded our own version of that track, and it ended up coming out really nice, where it's like, it sounds really professional. But, like, my own, like, magnum opus that I've ever made on my own is called Raining in L.A.
Oh, I love that one.
Thank you. I wrote that at, like, 3 a.m. one day. And, like, I sat on it for, like, a year because I didn't have a chorus. I just had the verses. And then one day it was raining in L.A. and I was like, that's the chorus. Nice.
Yeah.
And I recorded that and put that out there.
I really expected Joe to make a joke there about you sitting on it for a year. But you resist.
I don't follow.
Joke about him literally sitting on it for a year. That's his style of comedy. I'm surprised you didn't.
No, I got the bad jokes out of the way at the beginning of the episode, Lars. I guess you're getting your bad jokes out of the way now.
No, I just, like, I know so much about how Joe's mind works that, like, I can already, like, predict what he's going to say.
Well,
stuff.
It is kind of like an egg. You kind of just sit on it, and then, like, as the years go by, like, it evolves, and finally a little chicken pops out.
Eventually, you hatch the egg.
Lars, I'm getting some weird vibes from you right now. Anyway, Tomas from
the comedic touch.
Didn't say anything. That was great.
Tomas from the audience is asking, what is your favorite and least favorite part of making music?
That's a good question, Argentinian Tomas Retromino. My favorite part about making music is just doing it. Oh. And then, like, I don't know, my least favorite part is, like, just doing it. It's hard to explain, it's such a passion. Like, I love, it's like with anything, it's all about energy.
Yeah.
So, like, as much energy as you put into it, loving it, you could also put into hating it. Like, there are times I'm, like, really angry that I can't make a sound, or like another thing is like it doesn't translate well. Like sometimes I'll release something and like I'll listen back to it and I'm like, fuck, it doesn't sound as good as I want it to. I want to go back and just like redo it, but like once it's out there, it has this life of its own.
Could you put out like another version of it if you wanted to, or like what's the...
I mean, I've been sneakily doing that. Like with Ghost Tribe, that song's actually from 2014, but then I redid it and released it with what I know in 2019.
Sneaky, sneaky.
Yeah.
Mm.
By the way, I'm glad you expanded on that answer a little bit, because that kind of was like Gordon Ramsay saying, my favorite thing about cooking is cooking.
Yeah.
Joe, do you have any more questions for our esteemed Estonian guest?
Well, I mean, no, like... I'm just kind of having a conversation. I don't really have like specific questions like until they come up, until they pop into my noggin.
Weird.
What's cool. What would be your useless superpower?
I don't know. oh, I don't know. For some reason, the first thing I thought of like something weird where it's like every time I cummed, like it was blue.
That'd be pretty useless.
Yeah, blue ejaculate is a pretty useless superpower.
Hey guys, look at this.
Wait, hold on, take a few minutes.
look what I can do everyone. Yeah.
But it was like bouncing, came out like as fast as a gun. Like I could use it to like save someone if I really needed to.
Save by the cum.
Yeah, but then like I don't know, that'd also be useless because I'd never be able to have a child.
Yeah, that's true.
If it was
blast her uterus like a shotgun, it wouldn't work out too well. That's true.
Well, no, you'd have to use some intermediate. You'd have to blast it into like a petri dish made of steel, and then use like a dripper, like a turkey baster.
Yeah, but then like, what if I have like a flubber baby? Like it ends up just being like a weird monstrous flub thing.
Well, then that's fun. Yeah, it makes for a good movie.
Yeah, it does. That's a Hollywood. If you're listening, that's the next big idea.
Yeah.
What about the ability to jizz out flubber material?
I like how someone joined in the call just now to hear that. Okay. All right.
That'd be pretty good, huh?
Yeah. The ability to jizz out flubber.
It'd like get up and just start dancing.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, hey.
That's a very useful superpower at that point, though.
Yeah. The ability to jizz out flubber material.
All right, Frank.
Of course. Why not?
Burning question. What'd you eat for lunch?
I didn't eat anything. I literally just woke up.
Oh, what was your last meal? Not like your last, like you're on death row, but like your the last meal that you have eaten.
Cup of noodles. I had a cup of noodle earlier.
Nice.
Ah.
I love cup of noodles. They're great. Like, honestly, like it's a good staple food. It has enough savory and sweetness, and it's so easy to make.
You ever make top ramen and throw like an egg, a couple eggs in there or something?
Yeah, you can make it like advanced. Like you could straight up make like actual restaurant ramen out of cup of noodle or top ramen if you chose to.
Except the noodles apparently bad for you.
Yeah, they're like 50% sodium. If you eat two of them, you eat your entire day's worth of salt.
Yeah, that's like
I'm hearing that the sodium estimates though that like they were wrong and that our bodies can actually handle a lot more of it.
And I'm about to get salty up in here.
So Zenovia asks, how did you get start making music? I don't know. It's just something I did. Like, I remember as a kid, like, one of the big things is, like, everyone had, like, LimeWire or, like, all the downloading stuff, right? But, like, I had, like, really crappy internet. So instead of downloading MP3s, I would download MIDI. So, like, I would just download a bunch of video game MIDI. And then I found out you could open it up and play with it. So I had, like, this MIDI processor called Anvil Studio.
Oh, yeah.
And I would open up MIDI in there, and then I was like, I could change the instruments. I could remix it. I could do stuff. So I started like messing around with MIDI. So I got started making music when I was like maybe like 10 or like 11, just editing MIDI. And then I had an uncle who wanted to be a DJ. So he had a bunch of like DJ equipment and lights and smoke machines and stuff. And one day he was like, oh yeah, I have a keyboard. Do you want a keyboard? And he gave me like just a regular keyboard, not a MIDI controller. And I used
it's
to
like
just play with it.
A computer keyboard.
No, it was just like a musical keyboard.
Oh,
and then I started playing with that.
Funny joke, Joe.
I know, I got your joke. I picked it up. I put it down.
No worries. Just, I had one more bad joke in me.
Clearly.
It turns out.
Yeah. By the way, Anvil Studio, I never thought I'd hear that name again.
Really?
That's a great reference.
Yeah, that's like an OG reference. If you fuck with Anvil Studio, you're a real one.
Yeah, that's like an old MIDI editor. Yeah, that was great. I used that back. I'm not like a musician. I like to fuck around with that kind of stuff. Like I started young, so I understood that.
Right. Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, we're both geeks.
And like MIDI files were so tiny. They were like 11 kilobytes, where like an MP3 was like 5 megabytes. So like I could just download as many.
That used to matter.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, because like, okay, so the idea for MIDI, by the way, for the audience, is that like it was just like kind of like instructions, and then your system could interpret them to play them, as opposed to like full sound data, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what that is.
I made a whole video on MIDI. It's called "What is MIDI?" And I like went deep into it. Like I went ham on that video essay. And then like people from like musicologists started using it in like their curriculum. And people were like, "Hey Frank, they're playing your MIDI video in my college course." And I was like, "What the hell? I'm college advanced level on YouTube, and I dropped out of school."
That must have been a cool day.
It was interesting. It made me feel weird that people are paying like thousands of dollars just so that a professor could be like, "Watch this YouTube video."
Yeah, I guess maybe like knowing where to look though is part of what it comes to when it comes to education. Like, what resources should I consume?
Yeah. Like with my music career, I never went to school for recording. I went to school for film because I realized my favorite part of going to school was going to school to watch a movie. So I took film because I wanted to see a bunch of movies. And then music was just like my side hobby. And I took a few classes on music theory and recording and stuff, but I mostly learned myself. And like I used to download, it was called like the Dubstep Bible, where it was like how to make dubstep, but it was like so like intricate and like went down to everything. It's basically how to make music, how to produce music, but it was like marketed as the Dubstep Bible.
No.
Do you consider yourself like a marketing expert?
Low key. No.
Do you have like any tips for people who want to market their stuff? Like they say they already know how to make music, but they're missing the marketing tool, like the marketing stuff.
That's actually one of the things. Like people can make really good music, but then it's hard for them to find it. Like Witch House died because it was hard to find Witch House music.
Yeah.
Because they were like weird, like upside down cross triangle. Like you had to do all these weird things just to find it. But because of that, it kept it more niche and underground. Whereas like lo-fi, I find lo-fi has like the best marketing right now, because you'll have like an artist name is like, "Hey, you listen to Pillow with their song like a Summer Day," or you listen to the producer JSD period with their song Clouds. Like it's like very simple. I'm just making them up off the top of my head. I actually don't listen to a lot of lo-fi.
Tic Tac with their song Jizz. I don't know.
Yeah, see, like that's so easily marketable. Yep. And then you Google it and like it shows, it's the first result.
I don't think anyone's gonna Google Tic Tac Jizz, but
yeah, Google. But if you did, the first thing that comes up might be some musician.
Yeah.
By
the way, okay. Joe's new album Jizz on his recording name Tic Tac coming out on March 27th.
Oh nice.
Yeah, everyone go on Google and search for Jizz.
Just in general.
Yeah, that's another thing too. You can't just have like a broad name where it's like, oh, actually there was this dude. I thought it was the most genius thing ever. He released this track called, what was it? It's on the tip of my tongue. I forgot what it was called.
Wait, is that the full name?
No.
Oh, okay.
The full name was like, what was that Chainsmoker song that everyone was like, that was like number one?
Hashtag selfie.
No, the other one with like, "And baby, pull me over
closer."
Closer, yeah. So this guy named his entire song Closer by the Chainsmokers.
That's funny.
Yeah, so whenever you'd Google it, it'd be like, "Do you mean this song or this song?"
Ah, clever.
That's one of the secrets about the how-to movement that I've noticed in the music. Because like I helped launch like a bunch of people making how-to parodies on YouTube, mm-hmm. like for music, is that you get the traffic from whatever you're how-to-ing. So like if you did like a how-to Post Malone, whenever people type in Post Malone and it has the word how-to in it, YouTube would like bump it up, and like it would suddenly be in that like stream, and it would show up on people's like algorithm and key terms.
Hmm.
Because of the how-to?
Yeah, because like YouTube's like trying to promote self-learning and a lot of education. That's one of the secrets of YouTube's algorithm.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, Joe, it's like, you know, like if you're trying to learn like Visual Basic, you type in on YouTube, you type in how to basic.
Yeah, well.
And you get a bunch of like relevant videos.
I would just ask my dad because he's a Visual Basic instructor.
Whoa.
Oh, go look up How To Basic. You'll see that I was trying to trick you there.
Yeah, How To Basic's one of the biggest channels on YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it shows up everywhere all the time.
Yeah, guys, go look up How To Basic if you want to learn, like, really useful Visual Basic tips.
Well, you also have to type in Visual Basic if you want to learn Visual Basic.
I learned Visual Basic when I was, like, 8, I think. But I didn't really know that much Visual Basic. I just, like, knew how to make buttons that didn't really do anything. But it was enough to impress my grandparents. So.
Aw.
I feel like there's a joke in there somewhere about, like, Visual Basic and, like, Instagram white girls. I don't know, like, but I can't form it in my head.
No, the joke is that I'm living in my mom's visual basement.
Whoa.
You might want to say that again because there was a slam door.
Yeah, I know. The joke is that I'm actually living in my mom's visual basement and she wants me to move out.
I'm going to leave both of those in, by the way. So
it's funny because, like, California doesn't have basements because of earthquakes.
Yeah.
No, I have a room.
We also don't have fireplaces because of earthquakes.
I also don't live at my mom's place.
Ooh.
Yeah, your dad's.
I live at my dad's place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Frank, if people wanted to get, like, a crash course into Frank, what's, like, a good place to start?
Yeah, can you be frank with us?
Yeah, how to Frank Jevsy?
It's just so weird right now. I'm in a weird time in my life. Like, I haven't uploaded, like, a video that I've been proud of in, like, 2 years. So, like, wow. I just kind of exist, like, on the internet just making stuff. I do want to get back into it. I do have, like, a whole bunch of, like, scripts that I've written because a lot of my stuff is pre-written before.
Oh, okay.
I actually record. So, like, I try to structure it so that it's, like, it's concise. And I have a bunch of, like, scripts on, like, musical history and weird obscure music, hardware, and just, like, culture stuff. I do want to get back into it, but if you really want to listen to me, just go to my music on Spotify.
Yeah. And just for, like, the dumbest part of our fan base, which most of you are great, but, like, how do you spell your name on there?
FrankJavcee.
That's also for people who are, like, driving and they might want to, like, make a mental note of it for later.
Yeah, it's hard, like, especially when I talk to, like, Lyft drivers and they're like, so what do you do? I'm like, I make music. Oh, what's your artist name? I'm like, Frank Jevsy. And they're like, what? Because, like, a lot of people, when they find me on the internet, like, they see it there. It's hard to explain. Like, I'm very bad at word of mouth. That's one of the marketing things that I wish I had, like, an easier name. Like, I was thinking about changing everything and going under Dank Frank in, like, 2015 because it's easier to remember. It's like, wow, he's Frank and he's Dank.
Yeah.
But there's already, like, 5 rappers with that name.
Also, that's kind of cringy now. Like,
yeah.
It's a little, like, outdated at this point.
Yeah, it's dated, definitely.
What about Hebrew National Franks?
Yeah.
Ooh, I sure do love me a good Hebrew National Wiener.
The boy like him a gherkin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Frank loves wieners. Heard it here first.
It's true. Yeah. That's on my Wikipedia page. You go to personal life, and the number one says, Frank enjoys wieners.
Ah, okay. I'll take your word for it.
You go on our Wikipedia page, the first thing it says is dick, dick, dick.
Oh, yeah, we have a wiki, and basically, like, one of my worries is that people are going to vandalize it and just write, like, dick, dick, dick on it. So I just preemptively put that on there.
There.
Yeah, Lars vandalized our wiki. Yeah.
That's cool.
It's actually called Fandom now, by the way, Joe, for some reason, instead of Wikia. They changed it.
I guess they bought, yeah. They bought them.
The concept of fandom.
I love Wikipedias. I'm also into tropes.
You seem like a...
Are you talking about TV tropes?
Yeah, like, I love tropes, or just, like, weird little, like, it's hard to explain, but, like, you know, like, weird little, like, ideas and thoughts compressed into, like, little bite-sized segments? Like, I love that.
So, memes?
Yeah.
You remember when a meme used to just be a picture of a cat with some words?
Yeah, it'd be all, like, I love those memes where it's, like, 2012 memes versus 2019 memes. It'd be like that, oh, really, Al, being like, oh, really? And then, like, a 2019 meme's like a weird, like, sleep paralysis monster eating oats being like beans, but the bees all distorted.
Yeah, or it's like Tweety Bird saying, like, oh, I have a boner, or just something like really weird like that. You know, memes have gone to a weird place.
I think it was right around that time, like 2000, between like 2000, it's hard to say, 2009 to 2012, memes really started to take on a life of their own when you had... I think it started with that dog, wisdom dog or advice dog or whatever. And then there were the other animals that were spinoffs, like Awkward Penguin, socially cool penguin. You remember those ones?
Yeah, they were cute. And then they had like the like disgusting frog.
Disgusting frog. Yeah, it, like the parrot or whatever.
Good guy Greg.
And... But it was all just like, it was an animal with like weird like rainbow colors around
them. Yeah, that was so wholesome, man.
Each one had its own trait. And from there, they just you started getting like specific pictures of people, like the girlfriend, the douchebag Steve, yeah, or whatever.
There was the girl with Goosebumps books.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen? There's like this data set used by they use Behind the Memes like data set to create like a generation of like meme trends from like 2004 to now. And you can see like memes blowing up and getting big, and like it's crazy.
There's also kind of a disdain for early memes now, though.
I mean, we have it's like a pendulum; it goes up and down.
Oh, you think advice animals are going to come back?
Probably not.
It'll be something else, though. It'll be like some other advice thing.
Okay.
Something anthropomorphic. You think about
animals? It's like you have Doge, and then you have like crying cats. Like, those are, like, the big animal memes right now. Like, you just get a crying cat, and that's your reaction. Or you get a cute dog saying something.
Yeah. Dogecoin.
Did you just say the word Dogecoin without any, like, purpose? Or...
Yeah, everyone go out and buy Dogecoin. It'll, yeah. I've got some Dogecoin.
Joe has sunk so many thousands of dollars into that.
I've got hundreds of thousands of Dogecoins.
Yeah, I've met people that have sunk a lot of their money into coins, and I'm like... Okay.
I actually do know one dude, by the way, who bought before the bubble burst, and he's like a millionaire now, and he's like in his 20s. Good for him.
Dang.
But yeah, most people kind of got screwed.
Mamma mia.
No, I'm about even right now.
Oh, okay. So you kind of made it back to zero.
Yeah. But it'll go up. If Dogecoin ever hits like $1 a coin, I'll have like $500,000.
Mm-hmm. Whoa.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
Yeah. It's possible that in the future, Bitcoin would be worth, like, billions. I don't know. Who could say? Anyway, let's move on.
Yeah, let's move on.
If our fans want to find you... sorry, Lars, go ahead.
Yeah, shut up, Joe.
Jesus Christ, Lars. You're always doing this on air.
Yeah, it's kind of our shtick. Is the fake,
you know, yeah, it kind of is, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, well, we already kind of, like, wrapped it up, but just to reiterate, yeah, Frank Jeff C on Spotify, you said?
Yeah, just Google Frank Jeff C and whatever you like, just stick to that.
Okay. And also, like, is there anything, like, heavily on your mind? Like, oh, God, I got to talk about this on the podcast, or...
I don't know.
What do you think of Bill and Rev? Cool guys?
Yeah, I'm going to meet up with them when they're in LA. Hopefully work on some songs together. We're trying to get a show at a dojo.
Cool. Oh, if you get that there, we will show up and we will like, support you guys, so, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Just let me know. Yeah, it's going to be like in Highland Park, I think, and there's like a wrestling ring, and like we're going to perform not Ooh. On it, but near it.
That's cool. Let us know.
Yeah, they do weird stuff like that, man. Like apparently they did like a big stint in a barbershop at one point. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
How did you get hooked up with those guys? Did they just ask and that you were like, yes, or?
I met them through Matt and Ryan of Super Mega.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then I met Matt and Ryan of Super Mega because I used to comment on their stuff like back in 2015. One of my big things when I first started like to get my name out there is I would just comment on everyone's video. Like any video I liked, I would comment and like I would just like make myself known. And then I started having like a back catalog of videos. So whenever people clicked on my face, like they're like, oh, this guy makes videos. Mm. And like 2015 is when I was at my most like, everyone, I make stuff. Please notice me. Look at my videos. Raw. So I met them through like their early stuff and I would just comment on their stuff and then we hung out.
Got it.
And then they became Super Mega.
Ah.
And branched out to a lot of other stuff.
Yeah. They became Super Mega in more ways than one.
Yeah. They leveled up.
That's kind of where we're at, by the way. We're kind of at the please notice us kind of stage. So.
Yeah. So if you want to like help us, you can or whatever.
Awkward to ask on the air show.
That's what I.
Yep. That's I'm your like stick is awkward.
Jesus Christ, Lars.
Yes.
It's okay. I understand the struggle, the hustle. I was there.
I mean, we're getting to the point where we have some big names on, like Frank Jevsey.
Oh, thank you. You think I'm a big name?
Yeah. Medium-sized name.
I remember one time I was doing like this show where yep. like I overheard like one of the like people talking behind the show. They're like, oh, who's this guy? Oh, it's a YouTuber. Oh, whatever. We're getting big names next week anyways. And I was like, oh my God.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And the big names ended up being Billie Eilish and Kuko. And I was like, damn. Okay.
Oh,
they're pretty big.
Yeah. It was like some like thrift store thing. I want to do more thrift store videos. I love the thrift store.
I think you should.
Thank you.
By the way, speaking of Billie Eilish, like I'm a fan, but also like we had this content creator on recently whose name is Chikachu, and he made a video called "What Does Billie Eilish Smell Like?"
What?
And now I can't stop thinking about it. Like
yeah, every time I think about her, I'm like, what does she smell like though?
Yeah, not in like a weird way. Just like if you like look at a picture of her, she probably has like a scent. Kind of like you look at a picture of Post Malone and it's like he probably smells like a certain, you know what I mean?
Everyone has a smell. Like smells like really important towards pheromones. Like,
ooh, Frank, what do you smell like?
I don't know.
Taco Bell.
I wish. I don't know, honestly. I've been told I smell good by some people, but the thing is with pheromones is like that's like the subconscious trigger to make people attracted to you.
Yeah, it is.
So I think it's funny that a lot of people on the internet will be like, this celebrity looks like they smell, when like the subconscious version of that is like, I want to know their scent because I want to mate with them. And I'm ooh. Like, okay, go off.
Yeah, I'm going to avoid commenting on that with Billie Eilish. I don't think she's 18 yet. I'm going to ditch that line of thought immediately.
No, she's not.
Post Malone is old enough and I want to smell his gooch to see what the big deal is.
I do want to have sex with Post Malone.
Oh, she's 17.
No, Post Malone is not 17.
No, Billie Eilish is 17.
Oh, okay.
I thought she was older.
Yeah.
Well, when you have a lot of money and you have the designer things, I guess it just makes you look older. Like, what is a 17 supposed to look like? Like, when I was 17, I didn't know anything. I was wearing, like, the dumbest clothes.
When I was 17, I was attractive.
Really?
It's been all downhill since.
I'm sorry.
When I was 17, not really.
Ooh, Joe, can you post a picture of yourself when you were 17 in the Discord at some point? I'm curious to see what that was like.
I don't have any pictures of me.
Oh, you don't have to do it right now. I'm just saying, like, in general, like, I would like to know.
Yeah. Oh,
he's going to do it anyway.
Let me do it anyway.
So, Frank, are you excited for your plans with Tabasco Sweet?
Kind of. I need to take a shower because I'm stinky. I need to eat some food because I'm hungry. And then we're going to try to work on songs.
Do you need to get out of here like right now? Because we can close this up if you want. Joe's doing a gag, but
it's flexible. Like if we were to record, I'd probably go down there, hang out till like 9 PM and then like leave.
Okay. Makes sense.
Yeah. It's 4:20, everyone's blaze it. Ooh.
4:20, everyone.
Oh yeah, we're recording this. It's now 4:20 PM, so blaze it if you got it, I guess.
I love marijuana, but it's also a crux on my life. If it wasn't for marijuana. Oh my God.
That's you?
Yeah.
That doesn't look like you at all. What? Okay.
That's me. That's all right.
I love the guitar hero.
Like 16?
Well, discord.t1podcast.com if you want to, you know, see stuff like that. That's indescribably strange to see, Joe.
What does that look like to you?
Just like someone else entirely who did not end up you. Okay.
Yeah. All right. That's what I looked like once.
Whoa.
Oh, also, if people have been liking tuning in and they wanted to help support the show in a way that gives them a little something something in return, how can they do that, Joe?
It's patreon.com/T1podcast.
Yes. For $2 a month, you get premium access to the Discord. The regular chumps don't get to listen to the episodes early, but you do. The regular chumps don't get a fancy role in the Discord, but you do. And the regular chumps don't get a patrons-only channel, but you do. For $2 a month. That's patreon.com/T1podcast. And of course, shout out to our newest patron, Officer Kevin. Frank, it's been a joy to have you on.
Thank you for having me.
I feel like this is a natural jumping off point, unless there's anything else we want to get to, Joe.
Oh shit, I haven't been recording.
Oh, he does this joke every time. Oh my God. And it's getting just really kidding. Cancerous too. Oh, okay. I thought you were gonna really overstay that
I'm
one.
Just kidding. I was recording.
Of course you were. Everyone knows that. No one thinks you actually didn't do that, Joe.
Alright, everyone. Well, that was a show. DJ Khaled. Whoop, whoop, whoop. What up, everyone? It's your boy, Jav C. We out here on the internet sea. I'm here with Joe. I'm here with Lars. Everyone's going straight to Mars. Like Elon Musk. I'm in the dust, breathing the air. It smells like dust. I used to, one of my first things I did when I started the internet, because my name's Frank, I had a user called Narf. And I used to post as Narf.
That's great.
But people were like, is it Knarf? And I'm like, no, like the K is silent, like in knife.
Narf.
Yeah.